Coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
Some of the most inspiring and moving and powerful encounters with God have been testified to by people who were by themselves. That has always been able to trump what man could drum up in a corporate setting.
Hi, friends. We're back with another installment from my interview with Brian Grisham, missions pastor at Word of God Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. While most of the American church right now is struggling through how to keep their members engaged in ministry and growing in their faith, the requirements of social distancing have been a real roadblock. Word of God took a different tack, and it's paying rich dividends. It's important to note, however, that their own plan was not accidental. It was baked into their own church culture. We'll discuss how this multiracial church is succeeding at building the body in the age of COVID on today's broadcast. We'll pick it up with a quick recap on the struggle we all have to pray in a focused, powerful way when we're all so distracted. Thanks for joining us today. The last thing you mentioned in that first triplet was prayer. Truth be told, we really haven't taught people how to pray in different circumstances, in solitude, together in groups. We haven't taught them how to pray in the congregation of worship. And they are different skill sets. Now we're suddenly forced to face the fact that we are either ignorant or ill-equipped. I have a role to play in this whole worship experience, no matter where I am, sitting in my kitchen with my coffee, or taking the walk with the dog, or together with others in my home, or those 50 people that get to sit with you in your congregation at the church. And yet, we're challenging them to really pray. So what is your church doing to help educate your people and lift them up to a new level so that their prayers are empowered and they know, they're certain in their heart, they're confident that God's going to hear what they say and that what they're praying is something that God wants to hear?
That's a great question. And I think you're exactly right. We have probably fumbled a bit in teaching people the real power and authority that is in prayer. We have created an atmosphere where the leaders stand and corporately guide people in prayer, and that's certainly biblical. We need to continue that. Sadly, it has oftentimes created this notion that if I'm in the congregational setting, listening to the pastor or the other ministers lead in prayer, and if I'm in agreement and following along in my heart, that, you know, that's a box I can check off. And the reality of it is, it ends up sterilizing the personal responsibility to pray and also the power that we feel in prayer, because you're relegating it to someone else. And the corporate experience is biblical and it's very encouraging. But when Jesus was teaching on praying, he was not really referring to the corporate setting where you go into what would have then been the synagogue and you listen to the high priest do it. He was teaching the disciples as individuals how to pray.
You, Brian, have stepped into a place where Orthodox Christianity and some of the early first century Christianity, as carried by the apostles, still influences a lot of the way the styles of worship happen in the cultures you've seen. I've learned from spending some time with the Orthodox Church in the Far East that we're influenced mostly by the end of the Roman Empire. The notion of community, or three in the room together, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst, those kind of scriptures also resonated within the triad of the person themselves. When you pray to God in the room where you're worshiping, even if you are by yourself in a cell block because you're being persecuted for your faith, there's a Trinity visible in that room. You, the God without the Father, and the God within the Spirit are all in that room together. And so your experience can be of the depth that is a community of three people talking and celebrating together. And we often forget that we are talking about a God and to a God who already inhabits us. And so the idea of having a group and not being alone, not being isolated, is already baked into the theology we've been granted. And yet we still feel so isolated. I want you as a pastor to address that one question quickly, and then we'll move on to your next thought.
Yeah, I agree with you. The most powerful encounters in the history of personal faith are often seen in the characters in the New Testament and then other pivotal, more modern believers that have written and testified about their experiences. And in so many cases, some of the most inspiring and moving and powerful encounters with God have been testified to by people who were by themselves.
Yeah.
And we have possibly lost the power of that in recent decades because we've placed a tremendous emphasis on the corporate experience. And again, that is also biblical, and we need to do that. In fact, you know, Hebrews says, as the end draws near, don't forsake the corporate experience in the assembly. So I'm not saying anything that's contradictory to Scripture or even to myself or to what you're saying. I'm just saying that equally valuable, and in these current situations, probably more valuable, is a reminder that a personal encounter with God by reading the Word, by worshiping, you know, just on your own, regardless of your musical ability, and by praying to Him, that has always been able to trump what man could drum up in a corporate setting.
Yeah.
And I think that we just need to continue to remind our people that and to empower them to engage with God like that on their own, because right now the circumstance does not allow us to maintain the corporate programming that we once enjoyed.
I think the people that have already had an honest and open and powerful experience with God in their own prayer closet, they have a whole lot more to bring to the corporate worship service than just their presence.
Sure.
They're bringing God's presence because they've already tasted and seen that He is good, and they're bringing Him with them to the corporate worship experience. Everyone gets to benefit from that. So that's the wrap we have on those three thoughts. I know this was the very beginning of our conversation about this, but I want to move on to what's on your heart too. You have some other thoughts about the power of the Word over generations and apostleship.
I feel like if we can help our people just reconnect with the application and the authority of the Word itself, that the Word of God is so powerful.
Yeah.
Our pastor in recent months, it was back prior to the virus strike, did a series on the power of what we say and what we speak. And I know many pastors have written about this, and have, but the reality of it is that when we speak God's word over our situation, whether we're in a corporate setting or all alone, it brings the authority and the power of God to it. Mm-hmm. And it is different, although our heart and our words may be similar, words that we would just say on our own.
Mm-hmm.
They may represent the spirit of God's word,
mm-hmm.
and they may be in line with the truth of God's word, but those are our words, and they don't contain the same authority and power. When we will actually verbalize what God's word says over our situation, it brings a deeper level of comfort, of protection, of provision, and especially in these days when we are feeling isolated and we are feeling confused and helpless, and we get a new report every day from some agency that claims to have the latest answer to all that we face.
Yeah.
Where do we find our foundation?
The word that flows out of us because it's flowed into us.
Right.
I do believe that there is authority in the words we speak if they are truly grounded in what God's already expressed. Now, of course, when we say the word of God, we are talking about the words that were committed to some form of recording by other men across centuries. So it's not like God could only speak through their lips, therefore we repeat their lips as if it has some kind of mantra power. They respected what they heard from God and committed it to the ears and the hearts of others. We can, in fact, do the same thing. I'm not saying that what flows out of our lips now are going to be Scripture, but if they're Scripture infused, then we have no fear that what comes out of our mouth is going to be a lie. So we're always testing ourselves based on the evidence that God's already laid out before us. If our testimony is consistent with His truth as revealed already, no fears. We have no worry about actually saying the truth to each other in love or saying the truth to the world. And we'll find out pretty quick that God is far more concerned about what His word means in our context than what our politics or our culture means in His presence. It's an important thing for me to keep clinging to as a ministry that focuses on world Christianity and not just upon our cultural Christianity in America. And I know most of the people that are listening to our program right now feel the same way. They want to know how God is really working in their midst now or can work. And your church, Word of God Ministries there in Shreveport, Louisiana, is a prime example for me of all the things that we aspire to, we say we want in a congregation, in a fellowship, in the context of the kingdom of God around the world. So I appreciate you speaking to it so far. Now we're going to move on to talk about how COVID and those other issues are either challenging, hampering, hindering, or exploding your mission fervor. Thanks again, Brian, for joining us.
My pleasure.
We're back again with Brian Grisham of Word of God Ministries there in Shreveport, Louisiana. Man, what a great testimony you've shared with us in the past few days. Welcome back.
Great to be with you.
We've talked about the first things being the first things, how your ministry has been focused on getting people back to the Word, and you're navigating like the rest of us are through how do you worship effectively in a multimedia environment with less personal contact. Is it really about just becoming a TV broadcast, or is there something else that needs to happen, something else that God's trying to unleash in our generation that we just have been missing so far? I sense that God's up to something with us too, not just having us endure this pandemic, but to be transformed by Him during it. Friends, before we jump back to today's interview with Brian Grisham of Church of God Ministries in Shreveport, I just want to remind you that Compassion Radio is a communications ministry, and it depends on the faithful support of you to keep bringing inspiring stories to the air each day. Our vision partners support us monthly with gifts large and small and make it possible for us to take you to the very front lines of faith. Whether you join our vision team or make a one-time gift, thank you for believing in and standing by this ministry. We're here to bring you real good news in every situation. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478 to make your gift and to request our special offer this month, the CD of Michael O'Brien's marvelous Crown Him music project, as our thank you. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, or visit our website, CompassionRadio.com. Thank you, friends, for everything you've done and what you'll do today. We love you. And now, back to the interview. Let's move on to how COVID is affecting your community and how you as a community are dealing with a larger community around you in Shreveport and around the world. How are you tackling this issue? What are the big things that God said to you as pastors? Pay attention to this so that we don't end up getting sucked into a black hole of falsehoods.
Yeah, for us, we have tried to just not be overly reactionary.
Amen.
As I mentioned in the earlier segment, you almost hear a new report every day from some authoritative agency. And I know they're all doing their best, but they almost seem to contradict each other by the day.
Right.
I don't think they're trying to intentionally be contradictory. I think they're fumbling through all of this uncertainty just like we are.
Yeah.
But trying to give people information. You know, from our perspective, we have always, when I say always, this whole thing's been in the last 4 to 5 months. So we act like it's been forever, but it seems like it, I suppose. We've just tried to take a breath and not be so reactionary that we look like Keystone Cops.
Yeah, exactly. That's a wonderful analogy.
For our people, what's interesting, what we've discovered is, and I don't know that I, from a medical standpoint, I don't really fully understand this and I don't have the answers, but statistics have shown that with regard to the coronavirus, the African-American population seems to be hit harder than some of the other ethnic groups. And again, I'm not a professional. I can't really speak to what's happening there at a biological level, but because our church is 50% African-American, that statistical information has affected us more so than some others. And we've had to try to be really sensitive to that because we're one big happy family with the central connector being Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that neutralizes all of our ethnic and cultural diversities, which, as you commented, in this city have historically been extremely dividing. But we find at our church, those issues fall to the wayside because of our common bond in Jesus Christ. By the same token, the fact that we worship and serve and learn in harmony with Jesus as the primary focus, it doesn't negate the existing diversities that are there. And so when you're dealing with a pandemic that tends to strike the African-American population at a biological level more so than any other, and when you're in a church that's half African-American, you've got to really be attentive to that.
Now, I want to reiterate again in this program that your church in Shreveport was not formed to accomplish racial reconciliation. It has been the fruit of the relentless and dogged pursuit of Jesus himself. And that the people that came together surrendered themselves to what God's purposes were. And the outflow of that was the first place of safety and welcome for people of many different ethnic and cultural backgrounds in that city that has ever existed. And so for that, I want to, you know, not just celebrate you all, but celebrate God's work and his calling to make sure that Shreveport became a sentinel, a lighthouse for how race reconciliation can happen. But it doesn't happen as a precipitating cause. Reconciliation between people happens because hearts are transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. We know that.
Correct.
And you've lived it. And you're also recognizing that these things are demonstrated to be a greater threat to portions of your congregation than to others. And so when you recognize that, this is a prophetic statement. You're listening to the voices out there that God's brought to you saying, be careful, because we've seen that Black people are at higher risk of infection. They're at higher risk of severe or adverse effect of the infection. Pay attention to that. This is God revealing that truth to you so you can prepare for it. So what have you done?
Right. Well, you know, we employ all of the safeguards that everyone's attempting to do. You know, there was a season in Louisiana, at least, we had such an unexpected surge of the virus unexpectedly because in late February, we had Mardi Gras, which has been that historical big celebration down in New Orleans. And millions of people converge on the city.
Yes.
And for those that have not been there, they are crammed into those old downtown streets.
Yeah. Like what, alleys?
Yeah, for days and days on end, 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so literally, it's the polar opposite of social distancing.
Yeah.
No one knew then. The news had not yet broken in our country about what was going to hit us like a ton of bricks in early March.
Right.
So in late February, we had millions of people crammed into the New Orleans downtown area, all up in each other's business, presumably spreading the virus, though unbeknownst, to millions of people, and then they left the celebration and went all back to all parts of the state. So literally within about a three-week period, Louisiana went from 0 to 60 on the scale.
Yeah.
At one point, we even surpassed what was happening in New York, which at the time was just unprecedented. We had to very quickly spring into action, and you know, it wasn't a perfect process. No state has done any of this perfectly because we're just trying to figure it out as we go. But we as a church fell right in line with what our officials were saying to do. We immediately closed our doors and went to a completely online service, even limiting the building capacity to only 10, which, as you know, to say you're going to have a worship team, a band, and technicians, and you can only have 10, we had to do some jockeying there for about a month. And then it relaxed a bit, and we were able to get up to about 25% of occupancy. Now, we didn't open our doors because we are a larger church, and we knew that even at 25%, there would be no way we could get people in. We'd be turning people away at the door, and that wasn't a tone that we wanted to set. You know, this was not a Justin Bieber concert. This is church, and you don't want to be turning people at the door. So we chose to remain online only for about another 30 days. And then we finally got to the place in our state where we could have 50% occupancy. And that's been about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we have been having live people in the service since then, albeit wearing masks and observing the 6 feet distancing rule. And our people have been overwhelmingly cooperative and compliant. We've just been so encouraged by their response to that.
And there's no sense of individualism. Like, I have rights that supersede my community, and that being the church and the kingdom of God. I appreciate that about your attitude toward it, because you are preferring each other. And when the word of God, especially Paul's injunctions to all the churches, are serve one another, prefer each other out of love. Humble yourself to others. Make yourself slaves to them for the purposes of the gospel, for the kingdom. Serve them. Just find ways to serve each other. Make that the prime ethic of love for you. That's so evident all over Scripture, and yet it runs head on into this American individualism, as if my rights to not have to be inconvenienced by a mask is somehow superior to God's word and his injunctions to love one another. And I don't want to spend a lot of time myself carping on that, but I've seen that attitude rise up in people that I know and love. I've had to kind of speak into it to say, what percentage of your congregation is worth sacrificing for your freedoms?
Yeah.
That's just a practical question to ask. I'm not trying to poke fingers and eyes here. But it does need to be considered early. What kind of risks are appropriate to take in obedience to the Spirit of God? And what are the things we have to be courageous about in submitting ourselves in humility to each other to help each other through this time? And to be a good example to our community so they would see that we are the kind of people that care for each other and don't diss each other. I do think there's a big spiritual message for the church to be either squandered or to be capitalized on during a time like this. So, you've been practical about the way you've taken care of your congregation, and you're still at it. Where does it go from here when you're facing the needs of the community? What new needs are arising that you're perceiving now, and that you're addressing as a congregation?
Well, just, you know, we have historically had a very strong presence in local missions. I'm involved, as I've always been, in missions here at the church. In fact, that's how you and I first met, was through missional type ministry years and years ago. But with the necessity to distance and to not gather in groups, that's really placed a hit on that. And so we've been trying to be sensitive to what we can do on a smaller scale. And admittedly, it's not even a drop in the bucket compared to what we were previously doing even 6 months ago. But I do think people just being aware that we are still here and still continuing to get the word out, continue to be a place where Black, white, Hispanic, and Asian can come and get help equally. And, you know, I want to touch briefly just on something you mentioned a moment ago, this issue of individuality as it relates to the wearing of the masks. And I think in our case, I don't want to exaggerate this, but I do think that there's some truth here. I think because our church, from its inception, did not allow ethnic diversity to become an issue. I think that it sort of sterilized this propensity that many congregations have of looking to their own interests first, as Philippians 2 talks about. To look to the needs of others first. When you're in a congregation that does not have ethnic diversity or denominational diversity, it's easy to sort of hunker down on what you like and what you know and what you look like and what you feel. And because our church 25 years ago was started with the express purpose of being a multi-ethnic and multi-denominational church in a city which has historically been extremely racially divided, we settled years ago this issue of individuality when you come to church. And I think that that's really played to our favor in these recent months when we have had to employ these unprecedented things of putting the needs of others first with social distancing and with all of the Purell stations every time you pass, you know, sanitize your hands, with the masks, with staying home if you are feeling ill. All of these things speak to putting the needs of others before your own needs. And I feel like we've had a little leg up on that as compared to maybe some other churches, simply because of the ethnic diversity and the denominational diversity that exists here and always has. We have long since buried the issue of, this is the way I want to do church. This is what I want it to look like. This is what I want it to sound like and feel like. And if you're not in line with that, you need to go somewhere else.
The raising up in a culture that teaches us that it's acceptable and preferable to be bristly about our rights versus others, and that we prefer ourselves, that self-servingness. I must say every church is like this by any means, or every evangelical church. But there is a chance that we have not addressed it directly and trained ourselves and admonished ourselves from Scripture to prefer the other.
Correct.
As you and I both know, there's huge power in submitting ourselves to what God wants and in loving others the way He wants. And when you show up and do that, as imperfect as it is and how awkward it feels for you to do the thing God says to do, when you'll just do it, God shows up and says, yes, that's exactly what I've been looking for. I prepared all of history for you to be able to experience this with me right now. And there's a huge wellspring of joy that comes up, realizing I just connected with eternity.
Yep.
And you're doing that. My conversation with Brian Grisham of Word of God Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana, is just getting ramped up, so I hope you'll tune in for more from this interview on next week's broadcasts.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power.
There is so much to be thankful for, even in hard times. Right now, I'm very thankful for you. Your gift of time each day is a genuine treasure to us. Knowing that you're being challenged to live out your faith like never before is a wonderful encouragement to us as well. I hope you'll take time today to drop us a note through our website or by email. You can reach me directly at the following address, bramfloria@compassionradio.com. However you reach out, know that we're in this ministry and this work for you and because of you. Just call or write us today to help keep us on the air and in the field. Call 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And jump in anytime at CompassionRadio.com. We're waiting for you, friends. Hop on board.